In the psalm today, Psalm 68, verse 3, it says, "May the righteous be glad and rejoice before God. May they be happy and joyful." Are you happy and joyful? The righteous should say that. The ones that are righteous before God, and that's you, should be happy and joyful. So let's put on a big smile. Come on, everybody, happy, and there you go. I wish I had a camera right then. That was good. Yeah. In the last few weeks, we've seen the words of Jesus from the Gospel of John. And these words are both reassuring and a little scary. He was talking to his disciples, and as he was walking along with them and talking with them, he said lots of different things. And he kind of did a transition of telling them something was going to happen, and then telling them not to be afraid, and then telling them that this is going to go on and this is going to go on. And one of the best things he ever said was, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. But he said that to them because of what he had said prior to that and what he was about to tell them afterwards. And in John, he said this. He said, "In these things I did not say to you at the beginning because I was with you." But he said, "Little children," do you know anybody that's a little child of God? Yeah, you are. "Little children, I shall be with you a little while longer." He's talking to his disciples. "And you will seek me. And as I said to the Jews, where I am going, you cannot come. So now I say to you, I go away to him who sent me. A little while and you will not see me. And again, a little while and you will see me, because I go to the Father." I want you to listen for what Jesus is saying. This is a bunch of verses from the book of John as he's going with his disciples. And these are things that Jesus is telling them all the time. "I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of this world, the world would love its own. But yet because you are not of this world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever." That he may abide with you how long? Forever, yeah. "The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. In that day you will ask in my name." Now listen to this. "In that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I shall pray the Father for you. For the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came forth from God. I came forth from the Father and have come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father." Now listen, "And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Most assuredly, I say to you that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. I pray for them," Jesus said to God. "I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours and all are mine. All that are mine are yours and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you. I do not pray for these alone, just my disciples, but also for those who will believe in me through their word." You know, don't you, that we believe in Jesus Christ through the word of the disciples, that we receive the message of the gospel through the New Testament, the word of the disciples. So Jesus stood there and he prayed for us. He stood there and prayed for us. He said that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they may also be one in us, and that the world may believe that you sent me. How is the world going to believe that we're from God unless we're all one, unless we all have the same agenda, the same attitude, the same motivation? To go out into the world and proclaim the gospel of the kingdom, the good news, the joy of becoming a Christian and being a Christian in Jesus Christ. O righteous Father, said Jesus, the world has not known you, but I have known you. And these have known that you sent me, and I have declared to them your name and will declare it, that the Lord, that the love with which you love me may be in them, and I in them. Those were a whole bunch of verses, and you can kind of see the transition of what Jesus was doing with his disciples. The things that he was telling them, I'm going to leave. Don't be afraid. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. And then he said that long prayer, that wonderful prayer about his disciples. He stood within their earshot on earth, and he prayed for them. He stood there and talked to God about those who stood there with him. That's got to be an awesome thing. If you're standing with Jesus and you believe that he's the Son of God and he suddenly breaks into prayer, you know he has the connection, right? And he's standing there praying for you. That's awesome. The disciples, I mean, I would have been blown away if I was one of them. But he also prayed for those who would be affected by the ministry and teaching of the disciples. And he stood there, as I said, and he prayed for us. That would be you and me. I think it's wonderful that Jesus prayed for them and for us. And I think it's even more wonderful and awesome that he's praying for you and I right now. Did you know that? Did you know that it says in the Holy Scripture that Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father and he makes intercession for us on our behalf? He has the Father's attention. He has the Father's attention. Of course he does. He's sitting right there with God. And he turns to the Father and he says, do you know that thing that you've asked for? Do you know that thing that this person has asked for? I'm interceding on their behalf. How much weight do you think the prayers of Jesus carry? When you pray and you bring your petitions to God, Jesus is interceding on your behalf. Do you know what he's saying? That one, Father. That one, that child. That one who's asking for help, he's one of our children. Or she's one of our children. I've taken away her sins. She's washed clean and is pure and holy before us, Father. She's part of our family. She's one of our daughters, a sheep of our fold, a wondrous creation that we made and formed in her mother's womb. She's asking for our help. And we will move heaven and earth to help her. She's our beloved daughter and part of our one church. Can you imagine for a moment that Jesus looks at you and says those things to you about you to the Father? Can you imagine a father who would not give to one of his children what they ask for? Jesus said, ask in my name and he will give it to you. Ask in my name. And if you're asking God, by the way, and I think you all know this, right? If you're asking God for new Cadillacs, one for each of your children, and to be rich beyond measure, well, we don't have to go there, do we? That wasn't what Jesus was talking about, was it? I'm not that fond of Cadillacs anymore anyway. But he wasn't talking about that, was he? Whatever you ask the Father in my name, according to his will, he will give you. He was talking to a bunch of people. He was talking to a group of people who were about to go out into the world and embark on a dangerous mission. The most dangerous and treacherous path ever taken, but also the most vital and important. What were his disciples about to do? They were about to go out into the world and create the church. They were about to form the church worldwide. And in the process, they were going to be martyred. They were going to be put to death. They had a mission to spread the gospel to all the lands, and they did. Spread it, they did. And there was an immediate surge in the growth of the church that continued for many years as still going on today. Jesus knew what they were about to face. And you know what? Jesus knows what you're about to face. He knows your life inside out. He knows exactly what you're about to go through and what you have been going through. And he's interceding on your behalf to the Father. Nobody ever promised that we'd be rescued from the troubles of the world. The promise was that we would learn how to deal with them. We would learn that he's always with us. We would learn that no matter what happens, this is in God's hands. One of the things that John said in the reading today, he said, we know that we have eternal life. We know it. If you know that you have eternal life and you know that Jesus is seated at the Father's right hand, interceding on your behalf, what can go wrong? Even death can't stop it. See, even death can't. Jesus conquered death. So even the worst case scenario for the Christian is the best case scenario, because you get to see Jesus. Father John Callard said that. He said it's a win-win situation. He said that before he passed away. He said, it doesn't matter if I get better, if I die from my cancer, it's a win-win because I get to see Jesus. And he said, I get to see him before all of you. So he said, no matter what, it's a win-win. Jesus knew that, and he was trying to comfort his disciples. Listen, don't let your heart be troubled. Don't be afraid, because I know what you're going to go through. He went through it himself, didn't he? Jesus went through it. He told them they would take up serpents, and in the book of Mark, it says that he said he knew the things they were going to face, and he knew that they'd need power and authority, so he gave it to them. He gave them the power and the authority to go through the world. He told them that they would lay hands on the sick, and the sick would recover. He told them that they would cast out evil spirits and set the captives free. He told them they would take up serpents, and if they drank any poison, it would not harm them. That didn't invite people to go out and handle snakes and drink poison. He was saying, if on your journey to spread the gospel, you run into these perils, I'm going to be taking care of you. Isn't that good news? That's great news. As we go out into the world and face perils in the name of the gospel, he's going to take care of us. These words are for the ones who are willing and daring enough to take the kingdom of God that exists within us into the world. To proclaim the words of John in our reading today to the world. Can you imagine going out there and telling somebody who's lost and dying, not just dying in physical death, but dying on the inside, saying these words, God has given us eternal life, and the life is in his Son, Jesus Christ. Can you believe that? Whoever has the Son has life, and whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. Come into his kingdom and receive the life of God through Jesus Christ. Come to baptism. Come to baptism and be renewed and reborn and receive the Holy Spirit. Come into the church and know what love and unity and fellowship and forgiveness are. That's what the church is, right? Love and unity and fellowship and forgiveness. Because if there's anything the world doesn't have that the church has, it's those things. Forgiveness, unity, fellowship, and love. Invite people in to receive those things from the church. And don't worry about the perils of your life. We can tell the world, come to a place where you can know God and be comforted and assured that Jesus is interceding on your behalf. That, you see, that is our message to a lost and dying world. That's what we take out from here. It's wonderful to come in here on a Sunday morning and get refreshed and get filled up and feel wonderful and have this freshness and this fellowship with each other, to feel the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, to sing praises to God. That's here for a reason, so that we can take what we have into the world and say, come and see, come and hear, come and taste, come and know Jesus Christ. Jesus prayed for those who go out into the world to be empowered and emboldened to share that wondrous gospel of truth that will set the hearer free. And I've gone and I will go into the world. I'll continue to talk to people about Jesus. Won't you join me? Let me close with this passage I mentioned earlier. Mark 16, Jesus said, he said to one or two people, no, he said to all the people, he said this, he said, go into the world, into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. And he who has believed and is baptized will be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out devils, they will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and then they will recover. And so then after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they, the disciples, went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs, wonders, and miracles. How about you? Are you going to be afraid Or are you going to heed the words of Jesus when he said, let not your heart be troubled. Don't be afraid. I'm going to be with you every moment. Take that wondrous gift I've given you. Go out into the world and tell them you've got nothing to lose and everything to gain. Amen?
Amen.
Today we're going to celebrate baptism.